Thanks for being with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, I'm a teacher here at the University of Wisconsin as well, and I give my students quizzes from time to time. I've got a quiz question for you. I normally don't start with that, but I'm going to do it. Do you know the official fruit of Wisconsin? Oh, it's one of the things, if you don't, this is one of the things you're going to learn next year as we talk with Mike Beno back with us once again. He's the editor of Our Wisconsin magazine, and we'll talk about, well, we can talk about the official state fruit of Wisconsin, but we'll also be talking about some of the unique people, the places and events that are found in our state. And I don't know, we can talk about America's ace of aces. We can talk, who is Richard Bong. We'll take a look at the Peshtigo Fire. We'll talk about all kinds of things. Maybe you've got an event or something going on in your community that you think Mike Beno should be writing about or talking about. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Maybe you've got a photo, or maybe you have a question for Mike, or maybe a little story you can tell him and try and talk him into covering it in his magazine. All that, ideas@wpr.org, or phone 1-800-642-1234. Mike Beno, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Larry, I look forward to it every issue. You've been so generous having us on the air since we launched this magazine in 2013. Doesn't seem like we're heading into our seventh year, but we are. And talking to you after each issue comes out has really become a highlight for us here in the office.
Well, I tell you what, I started with a quiz question for everybody today, and it had to do with the official state fruit of Wisconsin. And as I opened up your magazine, it gives this gorgeous picture that tells us what that fruit is.
Well, I don't think it's pomegranates.
it's not pomegranates.
No, Wisconsin is the nation's leader in cranberry production. 60% of the nation's cranberries come from the bogs right here, and we've led the nation for 23 consecutive years. This is world-class production. 5.6 million barrels of cranberries are produced, and a barrel equals 100 pounds of fruit. Where does that barrel come from? Well, that's a metric that dates back to when berries really were shipped in wooden barrels. Today, they're in semi-trucks going down the road. Now, the photo that you're talking about, and
it's a beauty.
Well, thank you. This photo that opens our magazine on pages 2 and 3 each issue, we go for a big splash of color usually across that, and we want a lot of fall colors to scream. This photo does not have quite so much yelling orange and such that you tend to see in a beautiful fall foliage shot, but it's so different. We just leaped on it, and for our listeners, what Larry's talking about is it's a photo, an aerial photo, taken overlooking a series of 13 cranberry beds on the property of Bartling's Manitowish Cranberry Company. That's in Manitowish waters, which and these beds are up literally a mile and a half from the office where I'm sitting right now. Wisconsin has many cranberry hotbeds over near Wisconsin Rapids, Toma, Stevens Point, around that area. There's plenty of beds, Warren's, of course, and there is a cluster of them here in Manitowish waters. Well, this photo, you're looking down upon woodlands, and you can see 13 bright red horizontal slashes of color popping out of the woods. And it's so unusual. Usually, when you see cranberry photos, you're seeing them corralling and harvesting them from ground level. And cranberries do not grow in water, but they are harvested in water. They grow on vines in a dry area. They run a harvester over them, and Steve Bartling was doing that that day, knocking the berries off of his beds. And then they raise the water level. They raise the water level first, then they run the harvester through there, and they put water in there because berries are partially hollow, and they float. That's how they corral them and harvest them. So he was knocking the berries off. There was no wind, and when you're driving a tractor anywhere on any crop, you got a lot of time to think. Larry, you're an old farm boy. That stuff. And he's thinking, this might make a nice picture from overhead. There's no wind, and the berries are harvested in a matter of a day or so once they knock these off, if they can get them all in. They're on a tight time schedule when they're dealing with many acres. So he thought of somebody he knew who had a plane, called him from the seat of his tractor. The guy wanted to see this view, too. He met him at the airport with his camera. In a matter of a couple hours, he got up there in the air, shot this photo, and it's hanging on the wall outside of his office. And he was generous enough to share it with us. And honestly, Larry, there are many sources I can go to for photography in the state. But this is an example of something that is so different. These things come out of the woods at you, and yeah. You find them, and you think, we just got to get it into print. Not the most colorful picture we ever ran. Way unique.
Yeah, it is definitely way, way, way unique. I loved it a lot. Halloween just around the corner, and you've got a story about a woman in Marshfield who's giving out something a little different this Halloween.
Well, yeah, we do. And, you know, I've heard that Halloween has become such a big event, holiday, whatever you want to call it. It's second only to Christmas in terms of decorating. People just really get into it. And there's the spooks and the candy and the ghosts and the goblins, all those things that go with it, festivals. But a lady in Marshfield named Mary Langfeld has put an interesting twist on it. Around town, they know her as the Glove Lady. Well, why is she the Glove Lady? Well, she's warmed a lot of hands over the years. For about the past 10 years or so, she's taken gloves, new pairs of gloves, where she will haunt sales when they go on sale, March, April, something like that. There's clearances, and she'll gather gloves for children. And then what she'll do is, in the weeks leading up to Halloween, she'll take her Halloween candy, and she'll take the gloves, and she will fill candy into the gloves and then sew them closed. And she's giving away about 100 pairs of gloves, roughly that, for the past 10 years, and she's now become known, as I said, the Glove Lady. Now people have been reaching out to her from out of state, and they've sent her gloves, new gloves for children. They'll go out and buy them. Sometimes they'll give her donations of money so she doesn't always have to do the spending. She's putting in the work. Since we've run this story, okay, she's contacted us and said, I've heard from so many people that are volunteers are sending me gloves, and she says, I'll gladly take them, and it's making her her job a little bit easier. So we have some photos here of her handing out candy to the children, and there's one little story in here I think Larry liked. One little girl about age 3, she came to the door with her dad, and she, you know, was all dressed up, and she held up her bag, and she's just trick-or-treat. In goes a pair of gloves. Her face falls farther than the gloves did. And she said, I want candy. And Dad and Mary's trying to explain to her what's going on. She turned around, sat down on the front stoop for a good cry. The father was beside himself, so Mary had to open up, unstitch the gloves, split them open, give her the candy, gloves to the dad. And she said, the tears stopped right now.
That's a great, great story.
And you know what, Larry? Could I give her address if anybody wanted to send a pair of new gloves to Mary?
Sure, why not?
Mary Langfeld. It's 704 West Felker, F-E-L-K-E-R Avenue in Marshfield, 844-549.
There we go.
Keep the warmth going.
Keep the warmth going. Oh, my gosh. It's always fun to visit with Mike Mino from our Wisconsin magazine. You know, Mike, just as long as we're on the Halloween tricks and treats, there was a reminiscence piece that I thought was really funny with some trick-or-treaters coming to this guy's store, I think it was. And he was giving little cans.
Mm-hmm. That was at a supper club in Hortonville. Now, interestingly, the man who sent in this reminiscence, I'll go through it, is a school teacher from New London, Lyle Brum, who led the charge to get the American Water Spaniel named as the state dog of Wisconsin, and he enlisted all the school children. I guess he had something to do with the breeding and raising of those dogs. But Lyle writes little reminiscences to us every once in a while. But in the 80s, he went with his wife for dinner to the Horton Inn in Hortonville, and Fred Bearwald was running that place at the time, and he's well known in town, of course, in a small town, and the kids would come in the evening and say, "Trick or treat, Mr. Bearwald," and Lyle happened to be there that night. He knew Fred was a little bit of a prankster, and Fred reaches down under the bar and he pulls out some little 8-ounce sealed cans and he dropped one in each bag and the kid go on their way. And Lyle said he was almost afraid to ask what he was up to. Well, nearby is the town of Bear Creek. And what's Bear Creek famous for in Wisconsin?
Sauerkraut.
Flanagan Brothers Sauerkraut Plant. Fred went down to the sauerkraut plant and paid them to custom make some kid-sized cans of sauerkraut juice. I guess that's a trick, not a treat.
Oh, I love that story. I laughed out loud when I saw that. Oh, my goodness me. Well, Mike Mino is our guest today. He is the editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. We're talking about the magazine itself and some of the stories in it. I'm also looking forward to hearing from you, too. Maybe you have a great story that Mike could tell in his magazine, or maybe you've got an event coming up you want to let us know about and describe that for us. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, and you can email us as well. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, wpr.org. We are going to take a look at the news, the weather. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Then we'll be back to talk about sauerkraut juice and what else is going on here in Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, it's always fun to talk about our state, Wisconsin, and fun to talk as well with Mike Mino. He, in fact, is the editor of Our Wisconsin. It's a magazine packed with stories, photos, recipes, and they're all about things that make Wisconsin special. So, what are some of your favorite places or events? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. ideas@wpr.org. Gwen emailed Mike to ask what happened to the crossword puzzle in this issue.
He's not alone. Every once in a while, let me back up. We have Wisconsin Crossword that we've run about a year and a half in the issues done by a lady named Kelly Witt, who's actually done several books on them. She's very talented. Every once in a while, we'll hold something in an issue when we have quite a lot going in there, and once in a while, we'll rotate one page or another. That's a good way to learn if something is popular or not. Now, if you hear the sound of one hand clapping, well, you know you made the right call. But if people are stopping you in church and threatening you and saying, I know a bunch of guys in Chicago that are going to come see you, Mike, if you don't put that cartoon capers back in, which did happen, by the way. I get the message. So, Glenn, in the next issue, we have a crossword puzzle going in on America's dairy industry in Wisconsin. And we've heard Glenn loud and clear now. And I would say we got about 7 or 8 people who have contacted us and said they missed it. It's coming back, folks. Let it never be said we don't listen.
So, you know, I should go back a little bit. There are a lot of people listening today who know about our Wisconsin magazine, but maybe give us a little more information on the magazine itself.
Certainly. Thanks, Larry. We founded the magazine here. It was launched off a kitchen table in 2013. I had worked many years in publishing magazines principally, had been retired for about 9 years and flunked miserably. So I was looking for something related to the business and decided, well, why not bring out a magazine that celebrates everything that's great about the state of Wisconsin. Honestly, having lived here, born here, lived here nearly all of my life, and I can't think of a better subject to write about, because we live, in my little opinion, we live in the very best state there is. There's more beauty here and diversity in the landscape than anywhere else. But it's the people who are most special, and the people are the ones who really can tell the story about Wisconsin. What makes this place so wonderful is what people are doing, what's in their minds and hearts, the memories they can share, and some of what they can share about their everyday lives in different corners of Wisconsin. As journalists, Larry and I, we couldn't dream up a lot of the stories that just come flying out of the woods at us, like I said a little while ago about that photo. And that, for me, is what makes this job so interesting. And then getting to share those stories with 100,000 people all across the state. That's in a short time we reached that level of circulation. And thankfully, those numbers are still holding up. A lot of print publications are not doing so well these days, but it's heartening to know that the printed word is still going strong in some forms. In niches, Wisconsin is one, of course, a thematic niche. There are some that are still going strong, and I'm glad to say we're helping prove that.
I am as well. You know, when I opened up your centerfold photo today in the magazine, I looked at this 8.5 by 11 pages across of shoreline with this beautiful fall color, and I could imagine myself casting for muskie right along that shoreline. It's a gorgeous photo, and it really captures fall in northern Wisconsin as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thanks so much, Larry. Now I've got a short story about that, and I wish I had this up online or something so the listeners could play along with us. But you're describing a panoramic 3-page gatefold that we put in the center of every magazine that shows beautiful landforms, landscapes in Wisconsin, and fall's the time for color. So we've got a big, beautiful shot from Dave Meese, a photographer from Oregon, Wisconsin. And it's showing Loon Lake at Copper Falls State Park near Mellon. Well, that's muskie country, of course. Now, somebody wrote in, and they said, you know, we love this photo, but if you look on the shoreline to the far left, you look there, it looks like there's a condiment bottle standing in the woods on the shore. I said, what? I'm looking at a gorgeous patch of woods now on a shoreline, and there's a little bit of a different shape there not looking like one of the conifers, not looking like one of the deciduous trees. It is shaped like a condiment bottle, or maybe, this woman said, maybe a beer bottle. I can't read what it says on the label. We're looking across the lake. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm seeing it now myself as we look at it. It does look like a condiment bottle.
Yeah, she says, is that a condiment bottle or is that a beer bottle? What is this and how did it get there? So I called the photographer, and he's laughing. He said, I didn't notice it either. Let me look. And he looks at his digital file up closely. He said, oh, he said, that's the remnants of an old chimney from what would have been a homestead or something, like a cabin in those trees. So it was in the trees, and I think perhaps a little bit of lightning of the photo or something like that, done either at on press or at by the photographer himself. All photographers have Photoshop now. It's there, it's real, and it is an object. And what amazes me is how closely people are looking at it. This is three attached pictures, pages of woods and trees, and they picked that out. Now, the art director, Sue Myers, and I started laughing and said, well, please assure the people that we're not hiding beer bottles in the issue for Wisconsinites to find.
Well, you know, you were describing where is it located, and I'm looking, and I had to look a little bit before I saw it, even when I knew pretty much exactly where it was. But once you see it, then it stands right out.
Well, yeah, but what I love about this is how closely people are digging into every little detail in the magazine. Believe me, we don't make many mistakes, but in the rare event when we do, we get called on the carpet about it. We have sidelines, little phrases, one sentence running up the margin of each issue, and if we get a year wrong and a date or something, they're there to let us know about it. And hey, I'm happy to be corrected.
Well, I'm willing to bet that everybody who's listening who has the copy of that magazine is not going to the centerfold and looking to the left panel for that.
Page 41, part of the left. Look on the lake shore and tell us if that looks like a bottle of Gettleman or not.
Mike and Mercer, we're going to give you a chance to join in. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Larry and Mike. How are you guys today?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Good, Mike.
Hey, we've got an exciting event taking shape next February in Iron and Vilas County, where we've got the inaugural Turtle River Pursuit cross-country ski race on February 9th. The classic diagonal stride ski race will be at the Mecca Trails in Mercer, and the next day on Sunday, February 10th. We'll have a skate ski race at the Windman Trails in Manitowish Waters. And it's a combined time event, so individuals and two-person teams will have to put their times together to see who are the fastest skiers.
That sounds like fun. That's right in your backyard practically, Mike. Bino?
It is. Now, Mike, this is classic and skate skiing both together, is it not?
The Saturday event will be classic and the Sunday event will be skate.
Yep, this is right in my backyard. I pass the Windman Trails twice a day on my way into work in Manitowish Waters and on my way back home in Presque Isle. And the Mecca Trails right up the road from me in Mercer. And I think this is a wonderful winter event. It's an exciting new one. And I just heard about it here within the last 2 weeks. In fact, I have a little press release on my desk here, so maybe we better get a mention of that in the February issue.
Sounds like a plan to me. So February 9th and 10th, right, Mike?
That's correct. And the website is up, turtleriverpursuit.com.
Turtleriverpursuit.com. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
And well, let's go to Barb in Menominee next. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to let everybody know it's too late to get into the next issue of the magazine, unfortunately. But there's an event coming up in November, November 3rd, the first Saturday, here in Menominee. It's a fundraiser for our local domestic abuse program called the Bridge to Hope. And every 2 years, we put on what we call the Quilt Tour. Now, this is similar to a garden tour where you buy one ticket and go to a variety, you know, several different gardens.
Yep.
Well, we have quilt shows set up in five different churches in the town of Menominee in the city and from all the area quilt groups. So we're going to be displaying somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 to 500 different quilts that you can see all in one day.
Wow.
Fundraisers for the Bridge to Hope. Each location has vendors. They have special demonstrations or events that you can take part in. The church where my particular group displays also has a boutique country store of handmade goods for sale. Lots of stocking stuffer ideas and things like that. So we do it every 2 years. It's a great fundraiser. It's great fun for anybody who's interested in seeing beautiful quilts and maybe even learning a little bit more about quilts, too.
And the proceeds go to help the domestic abuse program in your area.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In Dunn County, and I think they serve one other county, one of the smaller counties that, you know, nearby, but for sure in Dunn County.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful event to have a lot of fun, but also for a really good cause. And it's what's the date again for that now, Barb?
No, November 3rd, the first Saturday of November. And all the details are on the website at thebridgetohope.org.
Thebridgetohope.org.
Bridgetohope.org. You have to put the in there.
You have to get the in there. The Bridge to Hope. Okay.
Yeah.
Barb, thank you so much. Comment from you, Mike.
Barb, I can't thank you for calling, Barb. I can't think of an effort more worthy than what you're doing. Quilts. Now that's interesting to me because we get some stories about quilts here. So is this a show of quilts that are the museum quality type traveling sort of colorful things for people to view, or are they selling quilts as well?
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. No, we're not selling quilts unless an individual quilter would happen to want to sell one of hers. These are all made in the area by our local quilters. Some of them have won ribbons in various quilt shows. Some are of the quality that they would be museum quality. Some are antiques that we have in our personal collections, but they're all local quilts.
Oh, that sounds
They're
cool.
Works of art, and I learned a long time ago when you're talking to these folks who are doing that artwork, never say the word blanket.
No.
These are much more than blankets.
Oh, yeah. Barb, thanks a lot for calling and filling us in on that. November 3rd. November 3rd in Menominee, Wisconsin.
I have to say that I want to put in is that in addition to going seeing these beautiful quilts, you will have an opportunity to win a quilt because there are at least a half dozen quilts that are up for raffle.
Oh.
So for a few dollars, you can win a beautiful handmade quilt. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Barb, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, by the way, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Mike, on to another topic from the magazine. I really enjoyed the story about the anticipation around the release of the new car models back in the 50s and 60s. When I was a kid, we really, really looked forward to that. I was a kid in the 60s. And what was the benefit of that to car dealers?
Well, the benefit to car dealers was this is some P.T. Barnum type promotion in a very small town. I mean, carnival barking. These days, fun has gone out of a lot of shopping, these days. Shopping for a car is, or most anything, is a lot more convenient with the web, of course. You don't have to wait for the car section to automotive section to come out in the newspaper and shop for bargains and every year you can shop online, you can go and bing bang boom and you're done. Well, back in the 50s and 60s, you know, after the war years really, people in small towns and Bill Morrissey, who wrote this story for us, is talking about Wapana, a town of maybe 7,000 people could have 4, 5, 6 car dealers even. And through the summer, toward the end of summer, they would start advertising, letting people know that the new models were coming. They would build up the suspense. What were these cars going to look like? And these days now, cars pretty much all look alike.
Yeah.
A Mercedes looks like a Toyota Corolla, looks like a, you know, and I think that's because they get some focus groups together and all the suits figure out what everybody votes for and what they like, and they all like the same thing, apparently, and that's why everything's homogenous. Back then, they had artists make these cars out of clay, you know, and design them, and then worked with the engineers on them. You know, tail fins are the biggest thing people talk about. But people couldn't wait for those cars to not only be in town but be unveiled, and the dealers would put them craft paper over their windows and put a sign out, the new models are here, and people are walking down the road going, what's in there? They put tarps over them and put them on elevated platforms, and they would have the big unveiling with a lot of hurrah, and I think just about every man in town would go down there and kick the tires and wish and drool. Not only that, you know, the 57 Dodge, or, you know, they're going to check the sleek new look on it. Not only that, in those days, salesmen would gladly drive the car to your home, down the block, park it there so all the neighbors could see. Dad had come out, and then here would come all the boys across the block coming to look, and everybody's picturing that in their driveway. Some of the fun has just gone out of it. And it was, when I think about this in fall, that's not really a big thing. It's marketing, really, but people had fun with it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And financing was a little different, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you knew everybody.
Well, yeah, you'd walk to the bank, and the financing, everybody knew everyone else. You just had to bring in a couple pay stubs, and they'd nod their head and approve your loan. Now the car dealer, I think they make more on the financing than they do on the cars. I don't know, but they sure are pushing the financing package. I'm not throwing rocks at today's car dealers. Some are in my family, you know, so they're my buddies. But it was a little different back in the 40s and 50s. And this is a magazine about present-day Wisconsin, but every once in a while we get I Remember When kind of stories. And we blend, three or four or five of those into the mix, and it seems to ring some bells, and people like it.
So before we quit here, how do people get copies of the magazine?
Well, thank you. The magazine, there's a couple ways you can do this. We have a website where you can get an individual copy. They're $5 or a one-year subscription. They're $19.98 for 6 issues. So you can go to our website at ourwisconsinmag.com. And there is also an 800 number for subscribing. That's 877-902-9760.
877-902-9760. 9760. Well, here we are, about out of time. I know Randy in Springstead wanted to tell us about a vintage snowmobile show, and I bet if you put in vintage snowmobile show in your search engine, you're gonna find out about it. Randy, I'm sorry we're not going to get you on, or Dave in Wisconsin Rapids, but we are out of time. Mike, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I really appreciate it, and enjoyed the latest issue, which is October, November.
Thank you very much, Larry. Thank you, Larry. I got the tip. We got the message. Larry, it's always great to be on. Thanks for having us.
Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, talks about the people, places, and events that you and I find right here in Wisconsin. Always fun. Tomorrow at this time, entomologist Phil Pelletieri is back to talk about bugs that may be on those plants you've brought in and also take your insect questions, so I hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, boy, there's lots more in store all through the afternoon and evening right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, so you stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller.